Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, the best in new inventory with great warranties. Pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. A fabulous service department that's doing so well and so busy that they want more technicians. So whether you're experienced, entry level, or looking to just change your career, they would love to hear from you. Stop by in person, apply online at sunburymotors.com, or call Todd at 286-7746. Our play-by-play call of the day, Aaron Judge walks four times. No, not it? Right?
Not quite that.
No? Oh. How about three balks?
Ball outside, which is, and a balk. Okay.
Be careful, Richard.
Richard not in love with the balk call by first base umpire John Tumpane. He said that's a set.
Caught up like that. That's a tough pitch to catch.
And now another balk. Oh, boy. Wow. Flyers going to lose it here.
Yeah.
And now Donnie's out to defend Richard Flyer. Lewin Diaz playing a little defense on Flyer as well. He did again. He did it again. He called another balk. The first three balks of his career, and now Donnie is losing it. And he just got thrown out of the game. And here comes the first base umpire, John Tumpane, who made all three of those balk calls. And now he's been thrown out of the game.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
One balk is called every 36 games in the majors. And this is something I've talked about. There were so many balks called in the MLB Draft League this year, so I did some research. So if you're wondering off the top of my head, how do I know that? Because I've researched it. The first one is a balk. There's no question. You see he doesn't stop. The other ones, the subtlety is stunning. Like, I can't see it. Can you see it? Now, I can't see it at all. And I'm sitting there, and penalties are called for two reasons. I don't care what sport it is. One, is it dangerous? So in football, for example, a crackback block, a clip, right? Dangerous. And number two, the primary reason, is do you gain an advantage by what you're doing? Point guard runs off a screen, you grab the point guard by the jersey and pull him. Guess what? You're gaining an advantage. Yeah, pick play run in football, you're gaining an advantage. And that's why you call penalties. Andy Pettit, for example, always skirted that line, that mythical 45-degree line that is not out there. When he would throw it at first, he had a great pickoff move, but boy, he'd be right on that line as to whether he did it or not. So you could argue those who admired how he did it because he had all the pickoffs, that's one thing. Those who were against it said he was gaining advantage by what he was doing. But the key is you have to be called for it. Where is he gaining an advantage here? And I don't know how many people are at the game, but this is what umpires and officials always have to realize. You officiate the game. Not one person paid a dime to watch you do it. Nobody. Don't become the problem in the game. Okay? Don't do that. Okay? Nobody came here to watch you officiate. Nobody. Nobody came here to watch you call balks. Nobody. Zero. Okay. The first one was a balk. No question. You could see it. He didn't quite stop. All right. The other ones, where's the balk? Come on. And that was a problem in the MLB draft league this year, Williamsport State College. Now, again, three balk. They have a balk every time you turn around. It's like, come on, guys. Nobody came here to watch you umpire. Move on. I'm watching all this all the time. What do you think? I'm like watching the birds fly around, or am I watching the pitcher pitch? I'm watching the pitcher pitch. That's my job. Okay? I'm not seeing it. Right? And it finally got to the point where, at the end, State College's manager, Dave Tremblay, who managed the Orioles, the Baltimore Orioles, for 4 years, he finally came out at the end and said, look, I've had enough of this. And that's a guy who never gets like that. Every time he's ever gone out to argue, it's like, hey, what'd you see? Tell me. He has a smile on his face. This time he's downright mad at the end. Because after a while, you've had enough of it. And that's what these guys have to realize. You know, if you decide to show up to work and be a jerk, okay. You decide to show up this day and be a jerk. Right? Nobody paid a dime to watch you do it. Nobody. Officiate the game. Right? And if somebody is gaining an advantage, that has got to be the gauge. Are you gaining an advantage by what you're doing? First time was obvious. The other two were not. Move on. Okay. Matt's all for the balk calls, though. He thinks it's great.
I just think it's so Marlins to have something like that happen.
No, but it's not. I'm sorry. It's not. This is on the umpire.
It is, though. You're right.
Come on. I mean, it doesn't matter. It's so Marlins. What does that mean? The guy's never had a balk in his career. Now he gets called for 3-1 inning by the same guy? Really?
It's just that something like that would happen to the Marlins.
Did I pay my money to watch him umpire?
No.
No.
Doesn't make it any right. I'm just saying it's the Marlins.
Yeah, well, you know.
I could see the same thing happening to a Pirates pitcher where this once at a blue moon type thing happens, whether it's right or wrong.
I mean, it's the way it is. I mean, you go to a Yankee game in a playoff and a young fan gets rewarded for reaching over and grabbing a home run when the Orioles should have caught it. Every ballpark has its own problems. Jeffrey Mayer. Yes, we remember the name. You hate when I remember you get into stuff about your franchise. All right, let's turn our attention to the outstanding play-by-play voice of Northwestern football basketball, my good friend Dave Annett. Dave, great to have you back.
Steve, same here. Great to be with you. We haven't seen you in football, seems like forever. So
5 years.
It's been even longer since we've been out there, so looking forward to it.
Very much so. The Ireland trip... I'll start by assuming that you personally went, right?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
good.
Yes, I did.
Right, so Jack and I can relate to, you know, the experience of being there. It may have been a different stadium, but the experience. A, what was the experience like? And then what did you see on that day that you would hope to see carry forward?
Well, let's see. First of all, the experience was wonderful. The trip was great. We left Chicago on, I traveled with the team, and we left on Tuesday afternoon from O'Hare, got in like 5 o'clock on Wednesday morning, and went to the hotel, and then they took the team over to the stadium for just kind of a light workout, not even sure they broke a sweat, really, and then practiced again on Thursday. But one of the things that Fitz had wanted was to make sure they had a bye the following week. So after the game on Saturday evening in Ireland, they had Sunday free. Sunday was a free day, and I think a lot of the players had family there. A lot of the parents came over, so they had Sunday to really go out and explore Dublin, and I think seemed like most people took full advantage. I know I did. And it's one of those trips where just everything went smoothly. And obviously winning the game, I'm sure, helped them enjoy Sunday a lot more. As far as the game, as far as what we saw, I think probably first and foremost, the defense shut Nebraska down, especially in after mid part of the third quarter on, and took the ball away. And Northwestern only had one turnover in that game, and they've had nine in the three games since. So I think if I were to pick one thing that they need to get back to, it would be ball security.
Evan Hull, and I've described him on the show as a football player. I mean, and I mean that with the highest compliment. Leading rusher, leading receiving, kickoff return guy. What kind of guy is Evan Hull, and what kind of football player is he?
Well, first of all, I think that's a very apt description of him, because I don't think that they would have said when Evan Hull arrived on campus that he was going to be potentially a game-breaking kind of almost an ultra back who, you know, the way he catches the ball, the way he can break away from a defense or through a defense. He's tough. Up until the Duke game, I never saw him fumble. Right. And that was uncharacteristic. But I remember the Pat Fitzgerald telling me on the radio, I think last year, that they felt or Evan felt he wasn't making gains in the weight room the way he should be. And it turns out he was one of these guys who was getting in the weight room at like 5:30 in the morning. You know, and you're balancing that with schoolwork and everything and the academics, and he wasn't getting enough sleep. So they told him, Evan, you got to sleep. You've got to rest, or you're not going to make the kind of gains you want to. So the work ethic is second to none from what everything we've heard about him. And it shows on the field. I mean, he's a smart player. He's a tough runner. He's fast. He can catch the ball. And, you know, the game that he had against Southern Illinois a couple of weeks ago was tremendous. And, you know, 278 all-purpose yards in that game. His receiving numbers, 14 catches, fourth most in Northwestern history. So, I mean, he's been terrific at – you know, I don't think going into last year he would have even been their number one guy. That would have been Cam Porter.
Yeah.
But, I think you have a player like Evan Hull, you got to have him on the field and get him touches.
Yet is it my sense in watching, watch the Miami of Ohio game, is it my sense they'd like to get Cam Porter in more because he does have some jump to him?
Well, yeah, and I think you saw that a little bit in the game last week. They did he did carry the ball more than he did in the previous couple games, and part of it I think is kind of easing him back in after missing an entire season with a knee injury. His first taste of action was that game in Dublin.
Yeah.
Since he got hurt preseason last year, you know, at the end of the 2020 season when they went to the Big Ten championship game and then they handled Auburn in the Citrus Bowl. And Cam Porter was a big part of that, and losing him before last season was a big blow to them. And I can't imagine where they would have been if Evan Hull hadn't stepped up and run for 1,000 yards and been as valuable in many ways to them as he was.
Ryan Helinski transfers in. We know quarterback's been an interesting spot. Peyton Ramsey helped solve a lot of things when he was there. What have you thought about the play of Ryan Helinski to this point?
Well, I think it's been better than what we saw last year from any of their guys. I mean, they had some consistency late in the year from Andrew Marty, but, he's no longer in the picture, and he's moved on. And I think that between Hunter Johnson and Ryan Helinski, it was a really unstable, inconsistent position last year. And part of it was Helinski came in late. I mean, he came in, spring ball had already started when he transferred, and so he was kind of behind the eight ball from day one, Steve, and I think it took him a little while to really grasp the offense, to grasp the system. And I think he came in with a different kind of resolve this year, and a different kind of body, by the way. He dropped some weight. He really kind of changed his body. He's a guy who I think it carries himself now with, you know, sort of that look of a starting quarterback. He's got a little bit of a swagger, but at the same time, he's not a finished product. And so I think you look at him and you look at the turnovers that the Wildcats have had, and you look at him with going interception free in the game in Dublin.
Yeah.
But then three of them the last couple of games, and a fumble there, and so I think it's still kind of coming along. But I do think that he's, for the most part, I think his performance has been better than what we had seen last year from the guys who play that position, including himself.
Malik Washington, Donnie Navarro, the transfer from Illinois, previously at New Mexico or New Mexico State, something like that. But then there's a tight end, Thomas Gordon, who is, and when I watch the video, I'm seeing 87 more and more. What are your thoughts on him to go with the wideouts?
Well, he's, he's been kind of a revelation for them. And, it's funny. He's made some catches, Steve. And part of it is Charlie Mangieri, who was the returning starter at tight end, kind of banged up to start the year, and he's been sidelined and dealing with some stuff. So it's been pretty much Gordon and Marshall Lang. And Thomas has made some catches that make you go, whoa. I mean, one-handed catches. He specializes in that. And I would say the best catch I ever saw a guy make at that position for Northwestern was back when they didn't call it tight end, they called it superback.
Yes.
Remember?
Yes.
And a guy named Drake Dunsmore made a catch in the back of the end zone at Penn State.
Oh, I remember.
Remember that?
Oh yes. Well,
I think Gordon has made catches that the closest thing I've seen from a tight end at Northwestern since then. And, he's a big target, and he's got soft hands, and I think there's some confidence there when Helinski's throwing to him that I think you can kind of see. I think those other receivers, Malik Washington has been terrific. Malik Washington, it's almost the second option in the passing game with Evan Hull having such a good year catching the ball. But Malik fumbled a couple times last week.
And yes.
Again, there's a guy that I haven't seen fumble before. So it's like, I asked Pat Fitzgerald, I said, are guys just trying to do too much? And he said, yeah, I mean, and not specifically Malik, but he said, yeah, I mean, that's kind of what might be happening here. He fumbled on the last play of the game where they were on the brink of putting themselves in position to clock the ball and get one last shot at the end zone or maybe get into field goal range somehow, and he was trying to get that extra yardage and lost the ball. And, it's not the kind of thing he does. I think Donnie Navarro has been, I think, pretty good, and he's a guy who transferred. He's from the area, played at Illinois. He's a returning punt for Northwestern.
Yep.
This guy made a terrific catch at the back of the end zone for a touchdown in the Nebraska game. And so I think they lost a guy, Stephon Robinson Jr., who came in last year, played 1 year as a transfer from Kansas, who was a deep threat for them. They could get the ball downfield to him, they needed somebody, another option on the outside, and he's kind of provided that. And then Bryce Kurtz, another guy who was hurt much of last year, who's back now too, who made a terrific catch against Miami the other day. So, they got some guys who can get out and get the ball, and Helinski can get the ball to them, but just needs to do what I think they need to click a little more consistently in that area.
I know it's been 5 years since the two teams have played, but the number of times that Jack Hamm and I, Dave, have referenced the Northwestern defense during their Western Division championship seasons, I mean, people. I don't think people have talked about it enough, how great those defenses were with Paddy Fisher and those guys. Mm-hmm. How do you view that defense now? And, of course, Gallagher is still there, and we have a lot of respect for him. Your thoughts on him and also the overall play of that defense?
Well, you know, this is the younger brother Gallagher, yep. Bryce Gallagher, is yep. playing now. Blake, of course, played alongside Paddy and yep. Chris Bergen, who was the nation's leading tackler a year ago. So those three guys, they call them the Irish law firm, the way they referred to themselves.
Right.
Right. And they were terrific. And, you know, now kind of, I guess you'd look at Bryce as kind of at least the legacy part of that.
Right, yeah.
And he's doing a great job for them, playing middle linebacker. The guy playing the will linebacker spot, Xander Mueller,
yeah.
is another guy with a lot of talent. He's got a couple of interceptions already, including the one that put the game away against Nebraska. And, you know, so I think their linebacking core, I think, is playing okay. They've had some injuries in the secondary, and that, I think, has hurt them. I mean, Cam Mitchell, very solid at one corner, probably a guy who will play on Sundays. Their other corner, A.J. Hampton, got hurt in the opener, and we haven't seen him since then. Playing a young guy there now, and Theron Johnson, mm-hmm. seeing his first extended playing time. Koko Azuma, who I think is one of the better safeties in the conference, has been in and out. He's kind of a guy who provides the juice for that defense. He came back last week. He got hurt again late in the game, and so that kind of leaves him iffy going into this game. And then the other safeties, you know, it's kind of been a little bit of an issue there in terms of some experience in that area. And, you know, they've been good at that position. Now, the guy they have at the other safety spot, it does have a lot of experience. Jeremiah Lewis.
Yes.
Who came from Duke. And I think he's really started to come on for them. So, you know, there's always an adjustment period. And I think you see this more and more with teams playing guys who come out of the portal. And I think that, you know, he's a very solid player. But then they're playing some young guys back there too. And there's no question that was a problem for this defense last year with Paddy moving on, with Gallagher moving on.
Yeah.
You know, they had a lot of guys to replace, and Greg Newsom, of course, another guy who's playing on Sundays now. So, yeah, it's not the same defense. They haven't taken the ball away as much, I think, as they need to. But what they have been probably struggling with more than anything, they've been susceptible to some explosion plays. And it really cost them the game last week against Miami, because they score, they take the lead, and then they give up a 66-yard run down to the one-yard line two plays later, and Miami goes in, ties the game, ends up winning it on a late field goal. So, you know, they still got some work to do in that area, but I do think they've got some young talent there, competitive depth, as Fitz likes to call it, but these guys are still kind of in the developmental stage, so we'll see if they get better as the season goes along.
Dave, appreciate the time you gave us today. Always appreciate talking to you anyway, and I know that you and I will be on with Danny Persa tomorrow, but I'm looking forward to that.
Steve, it's always a pleasure. I'm looking forward to seeing you. It's good to come back. I always love going to Penn State. We haven't gotten there in a while, so it's nice to be able to make the trip again. I'll look forward to seeing you on Saturday.
Same here, my friend. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Steve. Take care.
Dave Ennett, play-by-play voice, Northwestern football, basketball. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, the best in new inventory, all, by the way, with great warranties. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee, which is so important. and a great service department and doing so well because they have such a great reputation. But they're looking for even more technicians to go with the great ones they already have. So if you're experienced, entry level, looking for that first job, which is sometimes so hard to get, or maybe you're looking for a career change, they would love to hear from you. Stop by in person, fly online at sunburymotors.com, or give Todd a call at 286-7746. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. And tomorrow's our roundtable, high school football roundtable. We're deep into the season now. What do we have, about a month ago?
About that, yeah. A little bit less than that.
So, boy, it goes fast. And I know with the playoffs, they're trying to end sooner. And, of course, with guys playing multiple sports, they're trying to end sooner. I mean, I understand all that. Boy, it sure does fly by, doesn't it? Jeez.
Every year.
So, it just flies by. So back in, I don't know, was it August? The Red Sox went to Pittsburgh. And so they go to Pittsburgh. And Dennis Eckersley says, in talking about the Pirates, he says, to be honest with you, it just seems like there's a whole bunch of nothing this year, right? Remember that comment?
Yes.
And he's now going to retire from the TV booth. And he was, and he reflected on what it takes to be a successful broadcaster. And Will Middlebrooks is the guy that brought it up on Nesson. And Middlebrooks has tried to learn from Eckersley in the booth. And Eckersley said straight out, he says, don't be afraid to say what needs to be said. He says, it's probably one of the hardest things to do coming out of the dugout. Once you leave the dugout, you're not in the dugout anymore. Players have a hard time with it because this game is not easy. And then we get up here and it looks a lot easier up here. Ultimately, you are who you are, and it's scary because if you are who you are, you can't be afraid of who you are. So, for example, when he's in Pittsburgh and he's talking about, look, he says, it's kind of like a hodgepodge of nothingness. He was saying essentially what a lot of us have been thinking. Right? I mean, let's be honest about it. It doesn't mean they're not trying or anything like that. That was an organizational shot from the outside looking in. And he was not wrong. Where's he wrong? I mean, where was he wrong about that? He wasn't. And sometimes you have to say what you got to say. I mean, I tell you, Phil Mushnick of the New York Post, he's critical of everybody. But he does talk about, for example, like the other day, Donaldson hit a ground ball. I think it was against the Pirates. He had a ground ball. And he carried the bat down to first and it ended up being a double play. And it turned out that the Pirates got all kind of messed up. And if he had been running hard, he probably would have beaten it out. And everybody's like, well, it's kind of a habit thing. Well, it's kind of a habit thing. Like, guess what? You're being paid a lot of money. Run your backside off on every play. I mean, it's kind of a habit. That's I think Paul O'Neill described. It's kind of a habit. How about a habit of running everything out hard? Let's give that a shot. See how it goes. It's okay to say that. You got to run hard. And your broadcaster is kind of like, well, what?
Guess what it takes to hustle? Not much. Just go as hard as you can. Well, it's kind of a habit. Kind of a habit. Well, that's not a habit I want to watch and pay for. Do you want to watch and pay for a habit where this jogging plays out? That was my biggest criticism of Ortiz all the time. Anytime Ortiz hit a ball that was like it's going to be out, he barely moved going down the first base. I'm sorry, that's a fair criticism. And it's okay to be honest about stuff like that. Somebody's not hustling, not moving, not making a play, not trying. It's like, you should. You're making a lot of money to try. It's okay to say that, especially with the pros. I mean, Nick Chubb's a pro. Should Nick Chubb have scored that touchdown against the Jets? Or should he have gone down the field to play and run the clock out? I'm asking.
I mean,
where am I wrong here? Donaldson should carry the bat to first and jog? No. Should be running his backside off and should be called out for not doing it. But it's okay with you because he's a Yankee. No, it's not okay.
I would call him out for that.
That's bad baseball.
You're right.
Bad baseball.
It is bad baseball.
And I've talked about Ortiz. Ortiz, right? He barely kind of was. Why? What are you talking about? Run. Run. It's your job to run. Hey, let's get some fantasy points. Let's score a touchdown. How about going down to the field to play? What's the, where am I wrong here? You can say that about people. What are you doing? Especially pros who are getting paid tons of money, tons of your money. Whether you're watching a cable, you're paying for the NFL. You're paying. You're paying a cable bill. You're paying the NFL. Okay? People buying tickets, you're paying. But it seems to be okay with you. You're okay with it.
No, I'm never okay with it.
That's what you want to teach your kids? That's okay. That's all right. Don't hustle. Don't hustle.
No, he needs to hustle. Yes.
They all do.
They all do.
Okay?
No question about it.
I comment over and over again. I watch games and I'm like, I am blown away. Like, you have all week, you practice one thing all week. Doesn't mean you can't make a mistake, but it's the mental mistakes I see. Or sit back and go, what are they thinking here? Now, I want to say this. Isaiah McKenzie of the Bills. You know how Ken Dorsey broke the tablet? Right? In the booth? Ken Dorsey's wrong. Isaiah McKenzie caught the ball in the center of the field, and he is trying his backside to get to the sideline. You can see it. And he didn't get there. That's not because he didn't know what to do. And it's not his fault, but it's Dorsey's fault for reacting the way he did. Sorry, the player did exactly what he was trained to do. That was not a mental mistake by McKenzie. He was trying to get to the sideline against the Dolphins. He just didn't get there because the ball was in the center of the field and he had to run 20 to 30 yards to do it. But it's okay. I mean, sometimes you got to maybe be a little careful, especially when you're a team announcer, about what you want to talk about or why. And you may have more knowledge as to what's going on. But, these guys, like in some of the baseball booths, are a little tentative sometimes about what they're seeing 162 games out of the year. And do they ever get fined for it? Do they ever get... Nobody does any of that anymore. Aaron Boone discipline him? No. Gee, what does that tell you? Maybe I can keep doing it. But he's not wrong. And believe me, there are players that got mad at Eckersley over the years for what he said. Players get mad. People, I mean, they get mad at Charles Barkley all the time. Barkley just says what he says. Here's one for you. Play better. Let's try that. Novel concept. Play better. Now, Matt expects that out of the other 29 teams.
I expect that with everybody.
And by the way, since 2001, how many more World Series championships do the Yankees have over the Marlins?
That would be none. They're tied.
I thought it was the Marlins being the Marlins.
They're still a disgraceful franchise one way or the other. They may
again. Again, how many World Series championships since 2001 do each have?
You're right.
I don't mean to bedazzle you with facts. By the way, who'd they beat in that series?
Yes, it was the Yankees.
But I thought they were the Marlins being the Marlins.
But you still can't hide all the disgraces that that franchise has done over the years, including very recently.
Well, you had a player openly on PEDs hitting for you.
Yeah, and that was a disgrace too. But the Yankees are an established, world-class franchise that has one of the best fan bases in all of sports, compared to the Marlins, who have owners going through the doors all the time, through revolving doors all the time, that don't know baseball, they get nobody to go to games.
All the Florida franchises are like that. Okay, Florida has a lot of transplants.
Oh yeah,
Jacksonville's like that. Tampa to a point's like that.
As I said before,
Miami's like that.
In the South, are frauds for the most part, because everybody likes college sports better down there, and that's fine. But there's a lot of fraudulence in professional sports in the South, including Florida.
You have how many championships since 2001?
Yeah, but at least we have fans showing up to games, and we're constantly at least in the conversation whether you win it or not.
Would you if Judge wasn't going for 61?
What do you mean, would I have?
Would you have filled seats if Judge was not going for 61 at this point?
I think you still would, because
last year down the stretch, they didn't.
But last year down the stretch, they weren't as good as they were now.
You're a playoff team.
Yeah, but they were a good team, not a great team. This year, you're banking on 100 wins, and of course, you see what happened in the early part of the season, all the success they had. This team is way more popular to watch this year than last year
because of one guy. Because of one guy.
No, but there's other guys too. Especially recently.
Sorry.
Like, everybody loves watching the young guys right now, whether they're good or not.
Nobody's buying a ticket to watch IKF. Nobody's buying a ticket to watch Cabrera. Nobody. Zero.
IKF, yeah, I can guarantee you that.
Hey, nobody is. Okay? They like Rizzo. Right? Now they like Torres after hating him all year.
Well, there you go. Just do what you just say. Just do your job and we'll love you. Torres is finally doing his job, and now we love him.
Guess what? You can be doing your job and hustling your brains out, and it's not translating. If he's working hard, right, and it's not translating, doesn't mean he's not doing his job.
Yeah, but those are the basics, to hustle for all the plays and to do the basic
Donaldson.
Things you're supposed to do.
Yeah, Donaldson
and he should
it all
be
time.
Right, and he should be called out for it. There's a lot of things I would call Donaldson for it. Yeah,
I'd have benched him. I'd have benched him.
These are one of the many things I don't like about Aaron Boone as a manager. There's no question about it.
Okay. I mean, that's your team right there. Okay, Bryce Harper. When does Bryce Harper not hustle?
Case in point.
When does Bryce Harper not hustle?
But Joe Girardi would bench somebody. And he did that with the Yankees, and he did it with the Phillies in his short tenure. Would Rob Thompson do it? I don't know. Doesn't seem like it based on his reputation.
I mean, it happens all the time. Yeah. So. And by the way, you should have heavy attendance. You do have a metro area of 8 million.
Right.
Are these facts like bothering you? I mean, it's like...
No, you're right.
I mean, you should have more attendance than Arizona. I mean, better team, but also more population.
Didn't Arizona beat you in the only World Series they played in?
Yeah, but look at them now. They're a disgrace, too. They can have those glory days. That's fine. But we're more consistent.
Yeah, because you're spending more money than anybody else. Let's be serious.
Well, of course.
Except for the Dodgers. I mean, you have more resources. Yes Network brings in a ton of money. Valley Sports does not give Arizona as much money. They don't have as much to give.
Right, but why do you think that is? I mean, because you have a fan base that cares and will invest money into that. And then when we invest the money, we want to see results. And when we don't see results, we're going to quarrel about it.
Actually, no, you're certainly... Now, don't insult the audience. Don't insult the audience. Don't do that. The YES Network brings in a lot of money because of the metro area they're in, and the Yankees then translate it into salaries. Valley doesn't bring in as much money as a network, and they can't put as much into salaries. They just can't. They've got to do it more on a budget. The Yankees have no budget. Zero. They can get a pitcher for $36 million in a year. Now, how much is Stanton making? Stanton's making a ton, right?
Yeah, he's making
They're able to re-sign a guy like Rizzo. Now, Arizona can go out and sign a guy, maybe two, but they can't sign 10 like the
Right, I recognize that, and that goes back to the problem with Major League Baseball not having a salary cap, and I totally get that. But bottom line is, you can't tell me that there's Arizona Diamondback fans or Miami Marlin fans or even Atlanta Braves fans, for that matter, that care more about their team than the New York Yankees or the Phillies or anybody else.
Depends. Phillies fans are passionate about their team. Red Sox fans are passionate about their team.
Yeah, and they fill the stands, too. I'm saying those franchises that I just mentioned don't. Cubs fill it. Absolutely. Cardinals.
I mean, some places are great baseball places. Some places aren't. Pittsburgh's not a great baseball place. And you know, when they win, they get people out there. I mean, but it's just, you know. Now, to be honest with you, New York's a terrible college football town.
Exactly right. That's just the way it is. And that's why, and things are opposite in the South. I get it.
You know, New York is not a great college football town.
Yeah, Philly's the same way.
I mean, it's a pro sports town. That's the way it is. You know, but don't make it seem like it's like some sort of Shangri-La. Everybody, people go to New York not because I want to play for the Yankees. They're going there because they're getting paid by the Yankees. I mean, come on, don't like. And the fans are so great. Blah blah. No, the Yankees are paying more than anybody else. I mean, don't kid yourself here. I mean, why are you going, hey, Los Angeles is great. It's warm, the whole thing. Dodgers also pay more. There is a bottom line.
Right, and no tax. I get that, yeah.
Right. Well, no, California has tax. Florida and Texas do not.
Oh, Florida, yeah, right.
Yeah, Florida does not. That's why all the professional golfers and tennis players live down in Florida. There's no state income tax. I'm just telling you, it's like, don't fool yourself. Okay, you got more money than everybody else, and which makes a big difference as to what you're doing. The Dodgers have more money than anybody else. Makes a big difference. The Red Sox got like that because John Henry bought the team, and he's got tons of money, so they spent it. And guess what? It's paid off. That's why every once in a while, when a bargain basement franchise does, like the Marlins have been great twice. Each time was happened to be the respective times they spent money, right? And then they fall back because they don't have the financial abilities to sustain it. That's the difference. Now, the Nationals spent money, got a championship, but they don't have the resources to sustain it. It's just, that's what makes it difficult. Even when the Yankees aren't winning, and they've been winning sort of the last 13 years, right? They can still sustain it. And that's a big difference in today's, especially with the way baseball is with no cap. Why can Green Bay compete with the Los Angeles Rams? Why are they better than the New York Giants? They're better organized, but they have the same number to work with. And baseball doesn't operate that way. And they had a chance to do something about it and did nothing about it. I mean, they had a lockout at the start of this year. What did they accomplish? What was accomplished in the lockout? Except next week they have to play baseball games. Nothing was accomplished in the lockout. Nothing changed.
What changed? Nothing. The Dodgers can still spend $250 to $3 million. The Yankees can still spend $250 to $3 million. And the Pirates and the Rays, and of course you make fun of the Marlins, they don't have that kind of money to spend. How can they possibly compete at that level when they don't have that kind of money to spend? It's easy for you to make fun when you're sitting there and your ownership can look at a guy like Stanton and they can acquire him and pay him the money and the Marlins can't keep him. Why?
This is WKOK Sunbury.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.